I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagble Agu.
In the headlines, striking doctors to resume work today following commitment by government to meet their demands. President Mahama reviews parade to hand over guard duties at Flagstaff House to personnel of Ghana Army. Government denies suggestions that Kantamantu Market has been sold to Chinese developer. 55 killed in northeast of Nigeria in coordinated attacks by Boko Haram militants, and Brazilian trade diplomat named head of WTO. But first, the summary with Naja Gbliago.
The Ghana Medical Association has called off its strike following government's commitment to their demands. Its president, Dr. Opoku Dussey, who made this known on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, said failure by government to comply will compel the association to advise itself accordingly. President John Dramani Mahama has handed over guard duties at Flagstaff House from the Ghana Navy to personnel of the Ghana Army. The ceremony, which was for the first time opened to the public, was witnessed by the Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani, and some service chiefs. The Army will be in charge of security issues at the Flagstaff House for 1 month and then hand over to the Air Force. Government has denied suggestions that the Kantamantu Market has been sold to a Chinese developer. Briefing the media in Accra, the Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Pachifosu, said Ghanaians should not pay attention to the rumour, adding that government is committed to ensuring that the traders who lost their wares are assisted in some way. 55 people have been killed in the northeast of Nigeria in coordinated attacks by the Boko Haram militant group. The Nigeria Army says 105 prisoners have been freed by the group. Meanwhile, President Goodluck Jonathan has set up a committee to agree to the terms of amnesty for the rebels, but the rebel group's leader has rejected the idea. And a Brazilian trade diplomat has been named the next head of the World Trade Organization. Mr. Roberto Azevedo, Brazil's ambassador to the WTO since 2008, competed for the post with Mexico's former trade minister, Herminio Blanco. Mr. Azevedo, who will succeed Francis Pascalam in September, will be the first Latin American to head the WTO.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news now in detail. The Ghana Medical Association has called off its three-week-old industrial action. The decision to call off the strike was announced by its president, Dr. Opoku Dussey, on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News last night. He said the association's demand was for a total commitment from government, which has been met. He, however, cautioned that if by 4 weeks government fails to comply with a ruling by the National Labour Commission asking it to commit itself to a payment schedule, the association will advise itself.
What we are looking for all this while was not just a check on fiscal monetary compensation. What we wanted was government commitment, fiscal commitment. That yes, you have accepted that you come and let us sit down and draw a payment plan or payment schedule. This is the only thing that was outstanding. We had issues with the National Labour Commission. National Labour Commission took the GMA to court to try to enforce its ruling. The judge in his own wisdom felt that the issues involved could not be resolved in the law court, because the issue that the National Labour Commission sent to court was whether our strike was legal or illegal, and it did not address the issue of non-payment of our conversion difference and our pensions. So the court said that we should go back home and then use alternate issue resolution. So we went back to the National Labour Commission, they called us again, and then we had a committee set up involving the Ghana Medical Association, government agencies of finance, wages and salaries commission and employment, which was chaired by the Trade Union Congress General Secretary. And upon the recommendation, the National Labour Commission ruled that, yes, government must restore and pay the conversion difference, and that government must sit down with the GMA and then fashion out a payment schedule. If our payment schedule that we have put within that was not comfortable for government, and that the Services and Services Commission, for that matter, government, must work within 4 weeks, and around 4 weeks, if there is no clear-cut way forward, it must report back to the commission. And that as part of it, of the package, Ghana Medical Association was supposed to cover the strike. And we said, yes, basically, we have achieved justice, and that we hope that the National Labour Commission will also make sure that the government obeys within the stipulated time as embodied in this ruling. So that's why we are calling off the strike.
So you're just calling off the strike, not because your voices have been heard, but you are actually counting on the government's promise.
Yeah, we are always law-abiding, and we always want to obey the laws of the land, and we hope that the government will obey the ruling of the National Labour Commission. If that's our 4 weeks, the government refuses to obey, it doesn't take the right of another strike from us, and we hope that the government does what is necessary for the forward movement of this country.
You heard the president of the Ghana Medical Association, Dr. Kwabno Pukwudu, say.
The Ghana Health Service has targeted more than 11,570,000 children aged between 1 and 14 years to be covered under its measles rubella supplementary immunization in August this year. The service will again immunize more than 5 million children from first day of birth up to 5 years across the country against polio infection from the 23rd to 25th of this month. The National Program Manager of the Expanded Program on Immunization, Dr. Kwejo Odey Nchieji, disclosed this to Radio Ghana on the fringes of the opening of the 12th Annual National Conference of the Community Health Nurses Group Ghana in Kumasi.
Still on health, people living with HIV and AIDS, PLWHAs in Bunahafo, have appealed to government to address the challenges of pharmacists in order for them to resume work. According to them, the protracted strike by pharmacists are adversely affecting their health, as they do not get access to badly needed antiretroviral drugs. They explained that about 2 months ago, pharmacists embarked on a strike, and on the 3rd of this month, again embarked on another. During all these instances, the PLWHAs went to the pharmacists for their drugs, but were unable to access these drugs due to the strike. According to them, the strike could have adverse effects on the health of the PLWHAs, as the antiretroviral drugs they collect monthly from pharmacies are supposed to be taken on a daily basis.
And now away from health, President John Dramani Mahama yesterday reviewed a parade to hand over guard duties from the Ghana Navy to the Army at Flagstaff House in Accra. This is the first time the handing over ceremony has been opened to the public. The Army will be in charge of security issues at the Flagstaff House for 1 month and hand over to the Air Force. The colourful ceremony was witnessed by the Chief of Staff, Prosper Bani, and some service chiefs. Government says henceforth, the symbolic ceremony will be opened to the public. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
President John Mahama arrived at Flagstaff House through the ceremonial gate before proceeding to the viewing balcony to review the parade. The changeover ceremony rotates amongst the Navy, Army and Air Force, and done on monthly basis, business activities of the seat of government moved to Flagstaff House, it is a midday ceremony to take place there. There was a symbolic handover of guard from the Navy to his Army colleague. This means the Ghana Army will perform all ceremonial duties at Flagstaff House this month. Major Ernestina Assan of the Public Affairs Directorate of the Ghana Armed Forces throws more light on the significance of the parade.
What you just witnessed was the Army taking over from the Navy. Next month, the Air Force will also take over from the Army. We make sure that security is always our focus. So you witnessed that the Guard Commander was handing over to the incoming Guard Commander. You realize the orders that he gave to the other one, telling you what has transpired. So it goes on to tell you that we don't joke with security.
The changeover parade is also done at the Buckingham Palace in London, the USA and other countries, and it attracts a number of tourists. Government hopes to do the same here.
Pascalina Dadevo reporting.
Government says it dissociated itself from the suggestions that the Cantamanto market has been sold to a Chinese developer. It urged Ghanaians to disregard the rumor, adding that it is committed to ensuring that the traders who lost their wares are assisted in some way. Briefing the media after a meeting with leadership of the traders at Flagstaff House, the Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Fusukwachi, said government is yet to take a decision on redeveloping the market. Here's another report by Pascaline Adadavu.
The Chief of Staff Prosper Bunny, the Greater Accra Regional Minister Julius Debra, the AMA Chief Executive Alfred Oko Van der Poel, and other government officials met with the leadership of the traders at Flagstaff House. According to the Deputy Minister of Information and Media Relations, Felix Ofosukwache, all the officials took turns to speak to the traders in a win-win situation. He said rumors that the Katamanto market has been sold out is entirely false. According to him, the redevelopment of the market is the absolute decision of the AMA, and that will be arrived at later in a meeting with the traders.
Now, once the fire had been brought under control, it was necessary to ensure that the debris was cleared in order not to further aggravate the situation. And so heavy-duty equipment was moved in to clear the debris that had been created as a result of the fire. Now, the traders construed this effort to clear the debris to mean a confirmation of the rumor that indeed the land had been sold to some Chinese developers and work had already started towards erecting a new edifice or market. Let me reiterate that government nor any individual in government has not sold any part of the Cantamanto market to any developer. I wish to reiterate it for emphasis. Neither government nor any individual in government has been engaged in any attempt to sell any part of the Cantamanto market to any Chinese developer, as was alleged.
The rumors led to an exchange between the police and the traders who sought to protect their space. The Deputy Minister said the leadership of the traders have apologized on behalf of their members for the misbehavior and unpalatable comments made on some media networks.
In this whole effort, remain the Greater Accra Coordinating Council, led by the Regional Minister, and the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, led by the Mayor, Dr. Alfred Van der Poel. Discussions are ongoing with regards to what can be done in the immediate situation to assist these affected individuals. So on Thursday at 9 a.m., a meeting will be held between the leaders of the Traders Association on one hand and the agencies I've just mentioned on the other to find a solution to this particular problem. As to when and how and where they are going to be relocated, that is a matter that will come up for discussion at the meeting that they will hold.
Felix Ofosukwache said government is departing from the old ways of doing things, and so as far as investigations continue on the fire outbreak, security will continue to be maintained at the site.
Pascalina Dadevo.
Fire yesterday evening gutted a portion of the intercity STC at Tudu, which also accommodated a second-hand clothes market. The Ghana National Fire Service managed to extinguish the fire, preventing it from escalating. No casualties were recorded, but a few properties got burnt. Roxanne Fiado and Nanayao Amponsa have more.
The fire started around 8 p.m. last night. The police, upon receiving the information, quickly called the Ghana National Fire Service and they were able to bring the fire under control. According to COP Patrick Timbila, the security services were able to respond quickly due to lessons drawn from the Katamanto fire outbreak.
Around 8 p.m., we got the information that there was fire at the STC to-do yard and the shed behind the yard. We rushed to the place and called the fire team. They also came. The fire tender came, and luckily, we were able to assess the source of the fire. So the first tender was able to do the deal by putting out the fire. The second one had nothing to do. We're saying this because we compared it with the Katamanto one, where fire tenders were there by 6, but they couldn't assess the source of the fire, and that happened that way. But here we're able to do that. We are lucky we controlled the fire right from the beginning. We were able to respond quickly because after the Katamanto, the police and the fire met, and we've been chartered out a joint patrol system where we'll be positioning ourselves at vantage points. So the fire tender was very close and it came readily and it did the trick. We are expanding this thing to all major markets. We'll be joining police fire service patrols and make sure that we make our market safe.
Some people who try to take advantage of the situation to loot are currently in police custody.
Roxanne Fiado and Nanaya Amponsa filed that report.
Ghana's proposed gas processing at Atuabo will be completed this year. An official of the Ghana National Gas Company, Samuel Ajiman, said construction of shallow rafts and pile foundation to carry the gas processing plant is about 90% complete. He indicated that 4 additional units of the plant, including air coolers, compressor and regenerator equipment, are ready for installation. Mr. Ajiman made these remarks when the chief executive of the company, Dr. Sipayanki, visited the site. He said the project is about 70% complete. Dr. Sipayanki inspected construction of 150-millimeter long concrete slope projector of the site and the fabrication center of the project and visited the 80059 site where gas pipelines were being laid between Sanzule and Ampeim. Dr. Sipayanki told journalists that his visit was to ascertain whether or not Sinopec Company, the Chinese firm executing the project, had resumed work after almost 48 hours of suspension due to problems with funding. He said the problem has been resolved and work has resumed. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Striking doctors to resume work today following commitment by government to meet their demands. President Mahama reviews parade to hand over guard duties at Flagstaff House to personnel of Ghana Army. Government denies suggestions that Katamanto Market has been sold to Chinese developer. 55 killed in northeast of Nigeria in coordinated attacks by Boko Haram militants. And Brazilian trade diplomat named head of WTO.
And moving on, government is to compensate all those whose structures would be affected by the proposed Kwame Nkrumah interchange at the Nkrumah Circle scheduled to begin next month. The director of the Department of Urban Roads, Alhaji Awulu Abbas, announced this at a forum to discuss the design of the interchange in Accra. He said a flyover on the interchange will help reduce traffic congestion and ensure safety. Here is a report by Naomi Komi and Magdalene Mensah.
Alhaji Awulu Abbas said the interchange is designed to portray the importance of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah to Ghana and the African continent and also reduce the pedestrian and vehicular congestion that is associated with the Nkrumah Circle. He said diversion routes will be announced to drivers whilst owners of affected structures will be compensated.
What we're looking at is traffic improvement around Circle, and then we are looking at the design of the highway, that's improvement in the urban network. So we're looking at 3-level interchange as to minimize flooding around Circle. Again, as part of this project, Circle is where we have a lot of public transport terminals. We have Odona, we have New Plan, we have VIP, etc., etc. The good thing is that once the bridge is done, then we can relate more to the terminals better. The impact of the terminals on through traffic movements shall be minimized. And so it gives us the opportunity then to improve traffic flows into the terminal and also improve the safety of passengers and pedestrians into and out of the terminal and around the area. Currently, from the designs, we are not affecting any structure. But well, as we start, we've made provisions in the project for compensation if need to become absolutely necessary. But the way it stands now, we are not affecting any structure. Once we start, for the transport unions, diversion routes, their accesses might be affected during construction. What are the alternative accesses that can be arranged? I've agreed with them that we'll form a traffic implementation committee, and that will have the unions, the people who live around here, as well as others, the police, etc. Say that together we can know that these are the diversion routes that we need to use and what works we need to do on those diversion routes.
Mr. Abbas said the 24 million euro project will be financed with a loan acquired from the Brazilian government. The project, which starts in June, is expected to last 18 months.
Naomi Kwame and Magdalene Manson filed that report.
The rector of the National Film and Television Institute, NAFTI, Professor Linus Abraham, has reiterated the need for the movie industry to take a cue from the technological discipline of old films. He said old films were done with much discipline. There is therefore the need for the industry to learn to incorporate them into the field of automation. This, Professor Abraham said, will improve the quality of films and improve the industry. He made these remarks at the launch of the third annual NAFTI lectures in Accra. Natra Soa and Sophia Koko have the details.
This year's launch of the NAFTI annual lectures dubbed The Cinematographer, a Complete Filmmaker, his role as a great visualizer and documentarian will provide technical disciplines of filmmaking. It will showcase Ghana's finest filmmakers and their contribution to the film and television industry. The lecture will provide a platform for the public to share and exchange their views on the industry. Director of NAFTI, Professor Linus Abraham, asked stakeholders in the film industry to reflect on their technical discipline of old films to improve upon the quality of production of film in Ghana.
The point that I'm making is the old films were done with a certain discipline, both technologically, as well as narrative in terms of storytelling. So if you look at the films that come from those times, you see that it was serious story development. These days, anybody at all picks up an idea and then they throw it on the screen without paying attention to developing the details of the story, how it's structured dramatically to catch the attention of the audience. That is the point that I'm making, and as well as technologically. You realize that those they took time setting up the lights, using lighting meters, the sound. If you listen to sound of films these days, you realize that we are not that very good. What I'm talking about is going to those times, learning the technical discipline of filmmaking, and then bringing it into the environment of automation.
You heard the rector of the National Film and Television Institute, NAFTI, Professor Linus Abraham, ending that report by Natra Esua and Sophia Koko.
The Supreme Court has given lead counsel for the NDC, Chachuchi Kata, the green light to have NPP vice presidential candidate Dr. Mahmudu Bawumia identify pinchies from supposed NPP strongholds where alleged irregularities took place, but which the petitioners have not included in their petition. The petitioners have alleged irregularities in 11,842 polling stations, which are largely considered as strongholds for the NDC. But at yesterday's cross-examination, Mr. Chikata sought to establish that similar irregularities alleged by the petitioners also took place in many other areas where NPP presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo won, but out of bad faith, they did not include them in their petition. However, on two occasions, lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, raised objections. It took the 9-member panel more than an hour on each occasion to deliver a ruling. A report by Bubukle Nogo and George Asakere.
Since the beginning of the case, the NDC has maintained that the petition is in bad faith and stems from a bad loser. According to members of the NDC, it would be wrong to assume that the alleged irregularities took place in only areas that President Mahama won. Nevertheless, the party and the EC have denied that the alleged irregularities took place anywhere. At the day's cross-examination, Mr. Chikata asked Dr. Bawumia whether he will call for nullification of vote from other areas when it is established that similar violations took place, to which Dr. Baumia responded in the affirmative. Mr. Chikata therefore sought to have Dr. Baumia identify a pink sheet from MA Primary School, Asokwa in the Ashanti region, where Nanado won, but on the face of the pink sheet, there was overvoting, according to Dr. Baumia's definition. However, Mr. Addison objected to the idea of having Dr. Baumia identify the pink sheet.
If what he alleges is overvoting in these various pink sheets that he has provided, he has exhibited, and in relation to which he says that most of the benefit of the overvoting inured to the first respondent, if there were other...
Yeah, we've got all that.
Yes. So I want you to identify, and I've indicated that it's a pink sheet. I mean, my learned friends are not saying that it is not a pink sheet. It is a pink sheet that we have in our custody.
Have you abandoned your objection or you are still on it?
This is not a document coming from the witness. He cannot identify. My lord, we made available to them 11,842 pink sheets. They had all the time in the world to go through it. Then they take us by surprise by sprinkling this pink sheet and asking the witness to identify. He cannot identify it. My lord, secondly, it is not part of their case. They are not the petitioners in this case. We have brought forth all the police stations where we have problems. This has never been part of their case.
We have the witness under cross-examination. The witness under cross-examination has indicated that according to the case that they have brought, if there is any polling station in which what he has characterized as overvoting occurs, the same consequences that he wants to apply to polling stations, which he has seen clearly are polling stations where the first respondent won the election, the same should apply. That was answer in crossing.
After a long break, the court overruled the objection. Mr. Chikata again brought out a bundle of other pink sheets for Dr. Baumia to identify, which Mr. Addison again opposed. After about 15 minutes of discussing among themselves, presiding judge William Atobuga announced that the judges would have to go into chambers for a full panel discussion. It eventually took the panel more than an hour to return to give the ruling. Spokesperson for the petitioner, Gloria Kufu, believes Mr. Chikata's attempt to introduce new pink sheet is unfair.
We took an objection to even the identification on the grounds that, one, they were seeking to establish that there were overvotes in other places apart from those places that we have identified. Our first objection is that in their defense, they state categorically that there were no overvotes. They denied our allegation. But the most important consideration is that court, before the hearing started, you will recall, gave direction. This petition be determined on the basis of affidavit evidence. So we swore to an affidavit and exhibited all the over 11,000 pink sheets that we are seeking to. Today, they haven't failed to exhibit a single pink sheet, are seeking through the back door to put in evidence, be it at a fair stage of identification, to need evidence on that. Clearly, it makes them unfair if it should be admitted. Two, if they are allowed to tender them, it means that we are being surprised. The essence of producing these documents before the hearing is to enable the other parties to have advantage of what these documents contain and to enable you to prepare adequately a response for these documents if they should be tendered in evidence.
For his part, spokesperson of the NDC legal team, Nana Atodazi, described the decision as a landmark verdict that will go a long way to determine the outcome of the case.
The case of Mr. Chikata has been simple. Why do we have to be selective in investigating these pink sheets? After all, we are investigating 2012 election results, in which there are 26,002 polling stations. So if you say that all that should be discounted, the total results should be set aside, then it means that we must investigate this. The court went, as you remember, there was a first ruling. They came back. They thought that it was a proper question to pursue. The petitioner's solicitors objected again or raised a further objection, and then the court went into recess, and they came back to say that they affirmed the position, and that to the extent that the other pink sheets or polling stations relate to one and same question, Mr. Chikata and the respondent were entitled to call into issue, into question, those pink sheets so far as they relate to issues of irregularity, such as issues as serial numbers, overvoting. What is interesting about this is that it clearly opens the 14,000 votes, bring them into issue. And what we are contending is that some want to know the Ashanti votes. We want to open, so they are interested in knowing the votes from the so-called stronghold, Volta region, Upper West, Upper East. We want to know what results came out from Ashanti region, Eastern region.
For now, Mr. Chikata would have to wait for the NDC's General Secretary, Johnson Asiedun Ketia, to mount the witness box in order to tender the new pink sheet.
Bubu Klinogo and George Asikre filed that report.
In foreign news, 55 people have been killed in the northeast of Nigeria in coordinated attacks by the Boko Haram militant group. The Nigerian army says 105 prisoners have been freed by the group, while a police station, military barracks and government buildings have been burnt to the ground. Meanwhile, President Goodluck Jonathan has set up a committee to agree to the terms of an amnesty for the rebels, but Boko Haram's leader Abubakar Shekau has rejected the idea.
And a Brazilian trade diplomat has been named as the next head of the World Trade Organization, WTO. Roberto Azevedo will succeed Francis Pascal Lam in September as new director general. Mr. Azevedo, Brazil's ambassador to WTO since 2008, competed for the post with Mexico's former trade minister, Herminio Blanco. The Brazilian president, Dilma Rousseff, has issued a statement congratulating the diplomat.
Now to other news, the main point again. The Ghana Medical Association has called off its strike following government's commitment to their demands. And 55 people have been killed in the northeast of Nigeria in coordinated attacks by the Boko Haram militant group. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Naja Gleago in Accra.